Quindi discepoli lungo l'esercito.
Grande, grande, signore, signore. Come
no?
Non di non c'è, non di sono sessi, non di sono. Ma non la mica, non di sette giorni, non di 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 대화심이 있어야 돼. 20을 써야 돼. 와서 난 그 순둥이서 가래.
그
남들 놀아요. 그래서 어디 시아바디 나는 되는 거라디. 네 쿵디 남들은 되는 거. 순둥이 사실. 리치 순둥이. 난 그 순둥이. 그래. 지금.
So, so what His Holiness is interested in from the Buddhist point of view is really. The intersection of the relationship between the mental processes and the biological or the physical processes that serve as the basis for the mental experiences. What seems to be very obvious is that at a gross level of mind, from the Buddhist point of view, the relationship is very tight. Although we may not be able to fully account for it, but the relationship, the dependence seems to be very tight.
Interdependence, yeah. Interdependence, both ways, two-way yeah, traffic. Both ways.
But at a very subtle level, from the Buddhist point of view, there will be a state of mental a consciousness which will be kind of autonomous. And even within the autonomy, there could be degrees of autonomy, just as we spoke about...
What does autonomy mean?
Not dependent on brain function. And specifically, the most explicit one is the... It's called the clear light of death, that dimension of consciousness that manifests in normal people only at the time of death, in the very concluding stages of the dying process. And that level is said to be not contingent upon the human organism. It's not an embodied brain. It is really quite autonomous from. And so a fundamental difference here is that, by and large, for all the cognitive sciences, all mental processes are considered to be emergent properties or functions of the brain. And Buddhism, that's one place where Buddhism just differs, that all of these grosser, coarser mental processes, anger, joy, fear, and so forth, these are said to be emergent processes, but not emerging from the brain, but emerging from more and more subtle levels of consciousness. And hence, it's that one of the... Would you count stress as being primarily mental, a mental property, or physical, or both? What are the criteria for judging there's stress?
This morning you mentioned how stress impairs the, you know,
especially unhealthy stress.
Neurogenesis.
You mentioned there's healthy stress too.
Yeah, first of all, stress is a continuum. Stress is not one thing.
That's right.
And
but the stress none of that. Yeah. Stress none. Yeah.
So some
stress you wouldn't worry.
Can one envision a form of stress that is purely a result of thought processes?
In fact, one of the ways in which stress is induced experimentally in the laboratory is by a purely mental process. If you ask a person to do, for example, extremely difficult calculations purely in their mind, for example, you start with a number like 1,742 and subtract 17 serially, purely mental, and that produces very discernible biological changes.
So the condition is really mental, the trigger.
Right. Yeah. And there was, in the 1920s, this very question was a principal issue in psychology, physiology, then Cannon and Bard theory, that was mental representation only a function of experience from the outside, or could it be generated internally? Mm-hmm. And the conclusion was, ultimately, that you could generate an internal representation that could be reflected in a physical response or a stress response by an internal representation. There's still debate, but this is a fundamental question that was answered by saying that you can generate a response internally.
That digi that shebe genchen lul jo jo che da digi lo so drugs ani and the level chung chin che level chung chin with the drugs and level dog che dra jo ro da di sem jo te ni shebe jo te.
So what we see here is a kind of a two-way causation. In the example of, say, purely internally induced stress like this, through a mental processes like this calculation or whatever, here you have an instance of where internal thought processes give rise to a biological effect, which is detectable, discernible at the biological level. And then earlier in your presentation, you referred to the story of how through biochemical processes, for example, like taking medication, you can really affect the hippocampus and through this way affect the kind of the psychology of that individual.
Or memory on these
memory
things.
And, right. So there you have an instance of physical factors leading to mental causation.
Yes.
So you have two instances both ways here.
Mutual interdependence. Mutual interdependence.